Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. This is God's word. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Did God have a right to do what he did? Was it legitimate for God to send a flood and destroy all the people who were living apart from Noah and his family? Yes, of course. Why is that okay? Why would it be just for God to do such a thing? Because everyone on the planet is living under the sentence of death. All of us, even now. It's not like, well, not me, I'm in great shape. All of us are living under the sentence of death. Why? Because God promised back in the garden, don't eat the fruit of that tree, because if you eat of that tree, death will enter the picture. In that day, you will surely die. And that's when death entered the picture. That's when Adam and Eve began dying. That's what ensured that their offspring would die. And you and I are not only related to Noah, but obviously we're related to Adam and Eve. We inherited from them a sin nature and a death sentence. We're born headed in the wrong direction, bent toward evil. Even when we try to do the right thing, we find ourselves falling short. And we're all headed for the grave. Well, Pastor Wood, I mean, I'm really hoping to be alive when Jesus comes again. Good, I'd like that too. But unless Jesus comes as soon as I hope, I'm going to have to die. And I've had to do the funerals of a lot of people that I cared about who were younger than I am and who were younger than I was at the time I did their funeral. I've had to do the funerals of children, teenagers, everything in between, all the way up to very, very old people. So if God says, time is up, and take someone out, does he have a right to do that? Yes. Well, why should I have to die because of what Adam and Eve did? Well, we don't get to make the rules, but I'll point out one thing. You and I have all done what Adam and Eve did. See, it wasn't just them. They sinned. We do too. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we can't say, well, you know, I don't deserve this. Yes, we do. Well, so you're saying it wasn't a really awful, terrible, horrible loss of life when all those people died? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it was totally just. If God simply gave us all what we deserve, we would all be destroyed. But God, in his mercy, not only destroyed with a flood, but he spared Noah and his family. The remarkable thing that should stand out to us is not that everybody else got killed, it's that anybody got saved. That's what's remarkable. Why would God do that? Well, maybe he didn't know the stuff that would follow. Oh, yeah, he did. The end of the previous chapter, when God's saying, I'm not going to do that again, he adds this phrase. Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. Did you notice that last time? God said, people haven't changed. The folks who were on the ark, do you suppose that during the time they were on the ark, they were totally sinless in their attitudes and behavior? You think? Of course not. How many of you believe that in the course of a day, it is likely that you would either do something you shouldn't, fail to do something you should, or display a bad attitude? Let me see your hands. If anybody doesn't raise their hand, you are doing something bad right now. Okay? I mean, all of us mess up. That's why nobody can ever be saved by just cleaning up their act and doing the right thing. Okay, from now on, I'm going to get it. I've made mistakes before, but from now on. I'm not saying you can't have improvement. I'm saying it'll never be enough. All of us need a Savior. So God saved Noah and his family from that disaster. Now, all of them are going to die, but God saved them from that outpouring of wrath and gave them the privilege and responsibility of starting over. And God, in chapter 9, makes a covenant with Noah. And there are several things that happen along with this. For one thing, God says, I'm going to let you now eat meat. I'm glad God said that. I'm glad he said we can eat meat. But God also did give his people, in this passage, there will be more restrictions for the Jews, but in this passage, God said, but you must not eat something that still has the lifeblood in it. Why is that? Well, first of all, God said it. That's enough. But secondly, God was building into people at this point a respect for life. God said that the life is in the blood, and it would all end up pointing to the blood of the Lamb, the one who would give his life for us. They did not see that at this point. God didn't tell them that at this point. But when God is going to bring his people out of Egypt, he has them kill a lamb and drain the blood into a basin and then take some of the blood and put it on the top and the two sides of the door. And that sign of the cross in blood is going to be the thing that causes the angel of death to pass over that home. Their firstborn will be spared because of the death of God's only begotten Son. Did they get that? No. God didn't explain that to them then. That would not be explained until generations later, when Jesus is meeting with his disciples on the night that he was about to be betrayed, the same day that he would end up being crucified, because the Jews count the night before and then the day as one day. Where did they get that idea? All the way back in Genesis chapter 1. Okay? So on the night that he was going to be betrayed, which is the day that he is going to die, Jesus explains to his disciples that the Passover celebration they are experiencing was not just about Egypt. It was pointing to what he would do for them that day. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He's the Lamb. The Lamb is worthy because he gave his life and then conquered death. But Jesus then, after the meal, took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant." This was the covenant with Noah. There would be other covenants that would follow. But then there is one covenant that does away with all the others, and it is an eternal covenant. And that is the new covenant. Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. All of you drink of it." We're to do this in remembrance of what he did and looking forward to his coming again. So, God tells them they can eat not just the plants, but they can eat the animals. But they still have to treat the life of the animal as something that is valuable and not to be discarded. By the way, the Bible is very clear that a righteous person cares for his animals. That's explicitly stated in the book of Proverbs. Cruelty to animals is not just not nice. It's an offense against God. And God says that he will even demand an accounting from the animals. Really? Yeah, not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's notice. And God is saying to Noah, after his judgment has fallen, that they must not be like the generations before, where the world was filled with violence. Life is to be respected. You can eat the animals, but you must not be cruel or treat them as if their lives don't matter. Their lives matter to God, so they should matter to you. And as far as man's life, whoever sheds a man's blood, whoever kills a human, is to answer by being executed. God said, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God has God made man. It is precisely because human life is valuable that the death sentence for murder is sanctioned in the Old and the New Testament. I know that bothers some people, but I'm just going by what it says here on the printed page. And then God says, I want you, because human life is valuable, because people are made in the image of God, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. It's good to have kids. Not everyone can have kids. But in the context of marriage, multiplication is a good thing. It is a good thing. Having children is good. Taking care of your children and nurturing them and disciplining them is commanded. It's not just a positive. It's required. You can exercise stewardship so that you are able to invest time in your children. Then God said to Noah and his sons, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you. I establish my covenant with you, verse 11, never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And the sign of this covenant will be the rainbow. Now remember that up to this point, prior to the flood, you didn't have rainstorms and all that stuff. That wasn't happening. The earth and the atmosphere was very different prior to the flood. And God did something cataclysmic with the earth that not only caused rain to fall, but also caused waters under the earth to erupt. And God flooded the whole earth. And afterwards, things had changed, including the fact that God made it so that man's lifespan is shorter. Now, if you read in the Old Testament prophets, one of the things you'll find is that the day is going to come in the future as part of what God is going to do when, again, a person who only lives to 100 will be considered a youth. Lifespans are going to be longer. When is that? That's going to happen when something else that God has promised happens. Well, what is that? There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Really? How do we get there? Well, this present heavens and earth are going to be destroyed. I thought God said he wouldn't ever destroy again. He said he wouldn't destroy with a flood. But turn, if you would, for a moment to 2 Peter chapter 3. Is this about global warming? Well, depends on how you define global warming. I think that's an understatement. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is God's word. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you, and I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, where's this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Deluged means flooded. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be nervous and scared and worried about the future. Oh, I'm sorry, I looked up. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. God is never again going to destroy all the life on earth with a flood, but God is going to bring judgment on the earth, and those who are in Christ will be totally safe, and those who are not in Christ will be totally cooked. Oh, so is that kind of what hell is? No, actually, hell is a permanent state of affairs for those who end up there. It is a place, the Bible says, that God has prepared for the devil and his angels. But tragically, lots of people refuse God's grace and pursue the path that the enemy leads them in. I was really just hoping we could stop with the thing about no flood. Well, according to the New Testament, the reason we need to remember about the flood is so we know that God does keep his promises and that judgment is coming. And therefore, we want people, because we agree with God, who is giving people time to repent, we want people to know that there is hope, that salvation is offered in Christ Jesus. Whosoever will may come. I don't understand what... Sometimes you sound like you're saying there's election, and other times you sound like you're just some kind of Arminian saying, whosoever will may come. When I was a child, my parents told me something that I thought was very helpful. As you approach the gates of heaven, there is a sign over the gate, quoting scripture, whosoever will may come. When you walk through that gate and you look back over the gate, there's another verse, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Is God sovereignly working out his purpose? Absolutely. Part of his purpose is that you and I would be graciously offering eternal life to all who will come to Jesus. If you have never really trusted in Jesus as your only hope, if you are still trying just not to deal with it, not think about it, maybe when I'm older, I plead with you while you have the opportunity. Ask God to save you. Ask God to save you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.